Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Second down and a yard at the 7. Burrow takes the snap. Under pressure, rolls to his right. Fires a bullet. Inside the end zone. Give me the sign. Give me the sign. Touchdown, Tigers. Justin Jefferson. Just inside the end zone, right pylon, and the Tigers regain the lead.
Here's a 3rd and 3 now. Henchus comes in motion, left of the formation. Snap to Tua. He'll stretch the field, comes left. He'll dive towards the goal line. Touchdown, Alabama. Tua Tagovailoa.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Is it the game of the century? I guess we'll find out. Or maybe you're okay with it being billed that way, just a few years after the other game of the century between LSU and Alabama. One thing's for sure, there's a lot of anticipation for this matchup between number 2 and number 3. Chris Blair on the LSU radio network, Eli Gold, the longtime voice of Alabama from Learfield. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. We're ready to talk football with you, and that includes college football and a big-time weekend ahead of us. So we're pleased to welcome Brian Fisher, who is a national insider for College Football Talk. Brian, before we look at LSU-Alabama, what's your reaction to the initial college football playoff rankings that came out this week?
About right, you know, about kind of what we expected in terms of everything that was kind of going into. You knew that, obviously, with the committee structure and what we've seen in the past, that they were going to be a little bit different from what we saw in the AP and the coaches poll. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it was pretty much as expected. I think, you know, some teams like Minnesota and Baylor probably came in a little bit lower than they expected, given that their records that they've made up till this point. But, you know, the committee's task is not to really pay attention to necessarily what your wins and losses, but who you've beat, you know, how you've played this season and what you've done. And I think they've done that. And, you know, this is still an exercise and something that we just go through every week. And there's only one that matters. And I think that's the important thing to keep in mind is that there's only that last one at the end of the year that really, really does matter for these rankings. And the rest is kind of just window dressing.
It's just a big tease is what it is.
It absolutely is, and it really is, especially because we obsess over these rankings so much, you know, during the regular season, especially the last month when kind of everything is coming down to the wire with these conference races and all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the committee is going to hem and haw and try to give excuses of why teams are so low or really kind of pump up others. At the end of the day, they're just voting on these teams in the order that they see fit. And so until it really comes down to crunch time when you got to really explain 4 versus 5 and 7 versus 8 and all that down the road, it really doesn't matter all that much, but it is fun to talk about, that's for sure.
So Brian, I'm not a huge fan of the hyperbole of game of the century, especially when we already had one a few years ago. However, LSU Alabama number 2 at number 3, it's got this game of the century 2.0 hype machine moving with it. If I were to ask you, how would you make a case for Saturday's action to be a game of the century, what would you tell me?
I would say it's absolutely not the game of the century. I would be very upfront with you in saying that this doesn't even feel like the one, I think it was 2011, a couple of years ago when they were 1 versus 2 coming into this. That one felt like there were higher stakes. I think with this one, especially if LSU loses, I think there's still a way for them to get back into that national title chase, given what their resume is right now. So I think at the end of the day, a loss for either side isn't quite as the death knell that it was a couple of years ago in the BCS era. So I think that's one thing that's kind of contributed. I think the other thing is everybody expects this to kind of be some high scoring and all the offenses and two Heisman Trophy candidates possibly. But there's just a lot of NFL talent. It's just going to be a good game, I think, overall. And I think coming into this, this might not have kind of the hype and expectations of past meetings, but it's LSU, it's Alabama. We know it's going to be a very good game, even if it's not quite that huge billing that we've seen for these 1-versus-2 matchups before.
In your opinion, how far ahead or how far above, depending on the terminology, is Ohio State than an LSU and an Alabama at this point in the season in terms of the play on the field?
I don't think it's much, but I think the thing about Ohio State this year is so far we haven't really seen many flaws. You know, you could point to Alabama's run defense, you know, especially with all those freshmen in their front seven. You could point to LSU's defense earlier in the year, giving up some big plays at times. You know, Ohio State really hasn't done that. They've dominated from start to finish of their games. They've played good opponents like Wisconsin. They've taken care of business. Really, the only team that's had any decent amount of success is Florida Atlantic in the first game of the year in the second half. So I think, you know, you look at just the domination of Ohio State. They can run the ball effectively with J.K. Dobbins. They obviously got Chase Young coming off the edge on defense. You know, they tick a lot of boxes off. And I think that's why, you know, they're the number one team in a lot of people's minds. And certainly they're still going to have to play Penn State down the road. They've still got that Michigan game looming. You know, they're going to get tested the rest of this month. But as it stands right now, I think there's still while there's not much of a gap between them and the other teams, I think they're the clear number one at this point.
Brian Fisher covers college football, the national scene for College Football Talk. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. If there was a major debate about the rankings, it was Penn State 4 and Clemson 5, and those are your five undefeated teams. The Tigers, of course, hurt by the ACC schedule. But when you look at their play on the field, how would you compare them to how they finished up last season as the national champs, Brian?
You know, I think they're kind of following the same kind of script. You know, you have that kind of close, threatening win, you know, earlier in the season. You know, the offense is continuing to kind of build up some steam. Yeah, they had some success early on those first couple of games, and then after UNC, they kind of took a little bit of a half step back. But I think they're all getting on the same page, and this is just what Clemson does. You know, especially on the offensive side of the ball. You know, it takes a little bit time for everybody to kind of get on the same page, figure out what they really want to do well, add in those wrinkles throughout the regular season to where you can rely on them come playoff time. And I think, you know, defensively, we knew that Brent Venables, as great as he is, he still had to replace a lot of talent,
yes,
especially in that front four. You know, and it's taken those guys a little bit of time to kind of get used to the game action and going from backup to starter. So I wouldn't be, if I'm Dabo Swinney, you're certainly using that number five ranking as a little bit of a motivation factor, given how they've been blowing out opponents lately. But that coaching staff, they know how to get to the national title game. They know how to win it. They're building towards something much bigger than the rankings this week, and certainly building for a lot bigger than any of these regular season games that they have left.
Inside the ACC, same conference, Florida State ends up making a coaching change or firing their coach. And the names that we're hearing associated with this job potentially are kind of strange. I heard Deion Sanders earlier on Thursday when I think it was earlier in the week when it was Bob Stoops, the name that was being floated around. What is Florida State looking for, Brian?
I think more than anything that they need some stability, you know, certainly some leadership, some on the field, you know, acumen. I think is the biggest thing I think they're looking for is can you make this program better between the lines on Saturdays and then obviously everything that goes to leading up. I think Willie Taggart, if he had given enough time, he might have gotten back on that track, but there's just too many mistakes, that he had on, you know, under him. I know they're going to go big game hunting, that they want to bring in somebody big, you know, that they can kind of trot out in front of that fan base to appease them. But the bottom line is they got to get a coach that's got to get his hands dirty, that's got to understand that you know, there's going to be some turnover with the roster, that which is already not in great shape. You've got APR issues. You know, I think talking with a lot of coaches, it's not quite as an attractive job as some would like it to be, as they're talking about the search. But at the end of the day, it's still a team that in a program that won a national title, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, and can get back there pretty easily. Now, do you have to deal with the juggernaut in the ACC that is Clemson? Absolutely. But you can get back to number two in that conference extremely quickly with the way there is talent in that state. And I think, when you're talking about probably paying $4 or $5 million a year with a huge buyout for the next coach, it's going to be an attractive position. They're going to find somebody good. And I think at the end of the day, Florida State will be just fine, even though they've gone through this very turbulent period the last 4 or 5 years.
Ryan Fisher of College Football Talk with us here after hours. CBS Sports Radio getting set for a huge weekend, not just LSU-Alabama, but now that we've got the first rankings, we'll watch how the committee deals with wins and losses. Could this be a year in which we have multiple major conferences left out because of the Pac-12? Well, they've got a couple of teams that are back there below the top six, but even the Big 12 doesn't have a major presence.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about already some of those conferences that had been left out in the last couple of years, certainly with Notre Dame crashing the party last year, that obviously forces somebody out. And we could have that scenario again this year. I mean, there's still a scenario where, two Big Ten teams get in, two SEC teams, obviously, with LSU and Alabama. I think at the end of the day, the committee is still going to put in what they determine to be the four best teams, regardless of conference affiliation. I think that's why, you've seen Jim Delaney the last couple of years kind of beat the drum for the fact that they need to consider conference champions a little bit more closely than they have been. But, at the end of the day, it's a system designed for teams to succeed on the field and be rewarded for that. And I would imagine that if the Pac-12 comes close, and they're number five again this year, maybe there's a chance that Larry Scott says, all right, instead of being kind of wishy-washy on playoff expansion, maybe we actually go forward with it. Maybe we start pushing it. And maybe he has, somebody, maybe it's Bob Bowlesby out of the Big 12, maybe it's somebody in the Big 10. But I do think that whether it's the conference commissioner level, whether it's, fans, whether it's coaches, they see that expansion is coming at some point. And until then, everybody's just going to hem and haw until eventually something ends up happening.
Brian, I know it's early and we still have a bunch of regular season games to go, but who is your Heisman Trophy front runner at this point?
Oh, that's so difficult to put into words. But I think at this point, I'm going with Chase Young just because of how dominant he's been. The award is truly who is the most outstanding player in college football. To me, he's lived up to that billing with the way he affects games, even if he's not getting sacks and tackles for loss, which those numbers are off the charts for sure. But even if he's not doing that, he's commanding double teams. He's affecting, the pace of play. He's putting pressure on the quarterback to rush throws. So to me, he's kind of the guy right now, and certainly he has opportunities even down the stretch to get even more notoriety with those big-time games coming up. But he's kind of the number one. I think we'll have a bit of an elimination battle between Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa. Should he be healthy on Saturday? I think that's something to keep in mind. And I still think Jalen Hurts is sitting pretty there because, he suffered that loss against Kansas State, but his numbers are phenomenal. I think he's got the great storyline of leaving Alabama, going to Oklahoma, and turning himself into, really covering up a lot of those flaws that people thought he had, turning them into huge strengths under Lincoln Riley. And when you look at the numbers, he's on pace to be the most efficient quarterback in NCAA history as a transfer. And so I think, a lot of that is the success of the OU offense, but a lot of it is how special Jalen Hurts is. And if he has a big stretch run, gets Oklahoma back in the playoff, I think he's going to be a name that consistently comes up in the mix as well.
But I love that you go defense first. Chase Young with 13.5 sacks so far this season for Ohio State, not to mention the five forced fumbles and the fact that he's a wrecking ball in there. All right, you can find Brian on Twitter at Brian with a Y, D, Fisher with a C. He is a national college football insider for College Football Talk, and it's really good to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Absolutely good to be on with you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.